However, this day, the Palm Day, was something that was anticipated hundreds and hundreds of years beforehand. In multiple times in scriptures, it talked about this day and the coming of this day and what this day, it gave a certain sense of what this day would mean. For example, we start off in Zechariah 9. There's a few verses. We're going to read a couple slides here. Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout, daughters of Jerusalem, or daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Woohoo! This is a prophecy anticipating what's going to happen. Way back, Zechariah writes this down. A righteous one bringing salvation. Here's this king bringing salvation. He is lowly riding on a donkey, on a colt, on the foal of a donkey. Not just a donkey, but the child of a donkey, the foal of a donkey. That's how your king's going to come to you. And we read on. That's a specific thing, yeah? Then we read on. I will banish chariots from Ephraim and horses from Jerusalem, and the war bow will be broken. It's not going to be about fighting. If it was about fighting, he wouldn't ride a donkey. He will speak shalom to the nations. This is big, that statement. He will speak shalom to the nations. You know, often we hear shalom in terms of peace, you know, peace. Let there be peace. We pray for peace in the Middle East. We say, let there be ending of hostility in the Middle East. Let there be no more bombs. Well, shalom means more than that. It's not just the ending of hostility. Shalom is an inside-out peace. It's the kind of peace that we're settled in, even in crazy times, in hard times. It's a kind of peace that doesn't make sense. It's the peace that passes understanding. That's shalom. It's this heart thing. This, I will bring shalom. I will bring this peace, this inside out. To who? To Israel? To the nations. This is massive. He's saying the king's coming. He's going to ride this donkey, the foal of a donkey, and I'm bringing it for the nations. This shalom for the nations. He will rule, his rule will extend from sea to sea, from the river to the ends of the earth. All nations, it's going to go across all nations. This peace. You know, there's this expression, from the river to the sea. The Messiah will reign from the river across the whole world. Verse 11. I don't know why this is capitalized, but as for you also, by the blood of your covenant, I will release your prisoners from the waterless pit. Now, I put those two verses in parentheses because when it's talking about covenant, it's specifically speaking to the new covenant that's coming. Anticipated in Jeremiah 31, for example. In these last days, I'll put a new covenant in your heart. He's telling the house of Israel this new covenant is coming. We know that when Yeshua comes, his shedding of his blood is his new covenant. That's the Matthew 26 reference. And there's other references that speak to this new covenant. But this is what's all connected to this donkey, this king riding this donkey in. Great big. And by the way, I will release your prisoners from the waterless pit. That's speaking to death. He's not talking about, when I come, then there'll be happy days for everybody. He's addressing the very idea of death. We read on in another place. That's Zechariah, Psalm 118. We believe this is David who's writing this. It's not 100% known that it's David. I believe that it's David. I think most theologians do. I give you thanks, he's speaking to the Lord, because you have answered me and become my salvation. And this is a prophetic statement he's entering into. And there's a name for this, and I apologize, I can't remember the name for this style, but there's a prophesying style that speaks like, it sounds like you're in the time, but it's actually forward. And that's what David's doing. He's speaking, it sounds like he's in the time, but he's actually prophesying what's going to come. 22, the stone that the builders rejected has become the capstone. The things that the people blew off, that one thing that people blew off has become the very cornerstone for what's being built upon. And we know that, this is a hindsight thing, but we know that Yeshua was rejected, but yet he became the one thing that the whole covenant was built upon. 23 is from Adonai. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that Adonai has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This rejected that became the cornerstone. But we read on. Hoshea, please, Adonai, save us now. We beseech you, Adonai, prosper us. Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Blessed is he who comes in the name of Adonai. We bless you from the house of Adonai. Adonai is God. He has given us light. Join the festival with branches up to the horns of the altar. And he's saying that prophetically that these statements would be uttered, that these things would be said, and join us in this celebration. So then we move on from David, and we get ultimately to this time that it happens, this Palm Day. And here's kind of one of the accounts of this Palm Day. Now we were told what was going to happen. We were told what it's going to be about. And this is it happening. The disciples went and did as Yeshua had directed them. He had said, go, you're going to see this donkey and get this donkey. And there's a foal of a donkey and get the foal of a donkey and get ready because here I come. And so they got him. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their clothing on them, and he sat in the clothing. He's ready to go into Jerusalem. This is the time. It was anticipated way back when. This is the time. You know the funny thing about this, and this is just a little bit of an aside, he didn't make anybody cheer for him. He just sat on the donkey and rode into Jerusalem. He either knew it was going to happen, or he was just hoping really hard that people would cheer. He knew. He knew. He knew what to do. They brought the donkey and colt and put their clothing on them, and he sat in the clothing. Most of the crowd spread their clothing in the road. So as he's going to Jerusalem, people are taking their clothes off the road, or their cloaks off. They're laying them down so the donkey's walking on these cloaks on the road. This is wild. Then they go and they're cutting the branches off palm trees. Then the others began cutting branches from trees and spreading them on the road. The crowds going before him and those following kept shouting, saying, Hoshea'na to Ben David, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Look what they're fulfilling. And they're saying, God save us. That's what it is. It just blows my mind. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hoshea'na in the highest. He fulfilled it. And I can't imagine the celebration that it was going on when it was happening. It was a spontaneous. They knew he was here. They knew who he was at this point. This was the end of his ministry. They knew the things that he had been doing. Lazarus had just been raised from the dead. He had proved that he could pray for somebody and they would come back from the dead. He had done all these types of things and miracles all over the place. And now he's going into the belly of the beast, where the Sanhedrin council was, the very people that don't like him. And he's going and he's got unfinished business to do there once and for all. But this moment in time, this epic moment that was anticipated for all of these years, and they look at him and they're saying, save us, save us, save us. It's so amazing to me how little they understood about what was going on. They knew enough to cheer. They knew enough to put their cloaks down, cut the branches off trees, and have the donkey colt walk in on these branches, and Yeshua is sitting on these branches. They knew enough to do all that stuff, but they didn't know what was really going on. They're saying, save us, save us, save us. What they're really asking for is save us from this occupation. Reinstall us as a sovereign nation again. Let Israel be the center of the earth. Now, at the time, Israel was just this little bump in a Roman Empire. And they wanted to be liberated. They wanted to be saved. They wanted to not be oppressed. They wanted to do their own thing. They wanted to be mighty like they were in David's time. They wanted to be great again. And they think this is the guy who's going to do it. And they're just fixated on that. Save us, save us, save us, save us, save us, save us. And that's what they were doing. And they just were convinced that's what he was about. Of course, we know that's not what he was there for in that time. This is a great thing. This is after he ascends and he's walking, and they don't know, these two guys don't know who he is at the time. He was, you know, kind of disguised from them. And he said to them as they're walking, and again, they don't know who he is. And this is a weekish after this Palm Day, and they don't recognize who he is. And Yeshua says to them, what are these things that you're discussing with one another as you're all walking along? They stood still, looking gloomy. You get the vibe?
No. Well, no. You are. We slide down the chapter a little bit,
but we were hoping that he was the one about to redeem Israel. They're looking gloomy. We had all these expectations, and we're hoping that Yeshua is the one who's about to redeem Israel. They didn't get it. These guys who had, they knew they were of faith. They were followers of Yeshua's before he was taken away. They knew that he had gone into Jerusalem and walked on, you know, sat on the donkey colt and walked across these leaves and cloaks. They knew that he was regarded in that way. And then they also knew that he was crucified. And they couldn't understand what he was about. They didn't get it. But even Yeshua, when he was going into Jerusalem, when he was riding on the donkey colt, he even knew what was going to happen. Luke 19, as he drew near and he saw Jerusalem, and this is again as he's going in on that Palm Day, he wept over her, saying, "If only you had recognized this day the things that had that lead to shalom, the inner peace, the inner peace." Do you know, it's a wild thing. I was trying to imagine this. Here's these people, they're throwing cloaks down. He's riding. They're throwing cloaks down. They're cheering. Yay, save us, save us. And he's crying. What an odd picture. Because they didn't get it. He knew it. If you only had recognized this day the things that led to shalom. But now they are hidden from your eyes. This inner peace, now you can't get it. They're hidden from you. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will surround you with barricades and hem you in on all sides. Remember, they were worried about the physical oppression. They wanted to be liberated and be free. And he's saying, well, day is going to come where it's going to get worse. And they will smash you to the ground, you and your children with you, and they won't leave within you one stone upon another because you did not recognize the time of your visitation. You knew it was going to come. You were told it was going to happen. That inner peace, there was a way to have it, but you missed it. You missed it. And they didn't get it at all. If there's ever one message from Palm Sunday, it's this, or Palm Day, it's this. Let's not worry so much about what we think our problem is. Let's make sure that we pay attention to him. They really thought their problem was dealing with oppression. They really did. They cheered. They thought he was the guy. And then afterward, of course, those two people walking with him on the road, they're gloomy. We know that the Talmudim, the apostles, his disciples, after he was crucified and he's in the tomb, they're hiding in a room. They're behind a locked door. They're afraid. I mean, they didn't get it at all. They're fixated on all these other questions in life. But they weren't fixated on him. Who's he? What's he about? And, you know, we can really get ourselves messed up sometimes when we just fixate on the problems and we forget who he is. You know what I mean? I think sometimes we can make a God out of wanting answers. We can contrive a whole thing, God, I need answers. And we can make trying to get answers our own God. Sometimes he wants us to live in ambiguity. Sometimes he doesn't want to give us answers. Amen? Sometimes he wants us to persevere. I don't know why. I really want answers. Don't you agree with me? Why did it happen like this, God? I think you may have forgotten something. I mean, come on. He doesn't want us to be like that. He's saying right now, don't listen to Jim. You know, he's crazy. He doesn't want... I think it's crazy to me. It's absolutely crazy that they couldn't understand him riding in a colt and yet they're cheering for him. It's like the Israelites. There was that time when they were sitting under the cloud. You know, we know they left in the Exodus. Pesach is coming. Passover is coming. And we'll remember that story of the Exodus. But as they're traveling on this journey, the scriptures are clear. The Lord gives them a cloud by day. And if the cloud moves, they follow the cloud. And if the cloud stops, they stop. And at nighttime, it's fire in the sky. It's a pillar of fire in the sky. If the fire moves, they move. If the fire stops, they stop. They never have to wonder where to go. I mean, I would love that. You know, little cloud, hey, Jim, go this way. You know, I've got to stop at the store, I think. Cloud, save me at the store, you know. So I follow it. Whatever, I would love that. And but yet they would complain. They kvetch, you know. They would say, well, where is God? Why don't you just look up? For 40 years they kvetched all through the wilderness. Now these will get the cloud right over them. I don't understand it. I don't understand when the donkey rides in. And it says, save us, save us, save us, save us. They were absolutely clueless what he was saving them from. But yet he had said prophetically that it was going to be about shalom, inner peace, that inside-out peace, and it was going to be about defeating the waterless pit, death. He told them it was what it was going to be about in the scriptures, yet they missed it. Sometimes we get so fixated on what we think our problem is that we can miss what he's trying to do in our life. Or he doesn't want to tell us anyway. I have questions, man. So many, some serious questions, you know. I'll say this a lot. But I've shared this. I had a sister that died when I was a little boy. I would just like to know why. She was on the earth for a while, a month. Why? Don't you think that's a fair question? Do you know what he's told me? Nothing. Nothing at all. Probably every 2 years, some Jew will walk up to me and say, why the Holocaust? Aha, nothing. I have no answer. I can speak around it. The scriptures give some sense that he worked through that terrible time. We saw the restoration of Israel, but I don't know why 6 million. Right? You've lost a job. Some of you said, why did I lose my job? I don't know. Were you a bad employee? I don't know. Maybe you worked. Maybe it was just the times. But you're tracking with me. I don't know. You have your questions too. I don't know. Sometimes it's not ours to know. He just wants us to take the journey with him. Just trust him. Our great example of this, one of the great examples, is our father Abraham. So God speaks to him, get up and go. You go to this land. I'm going to send you to a land. And Abraham says, okay, let's go. He packs it up. Gives his family already, his friends, whoever's traveling with his party, let's go. And I can't imagine how many times people said, where are we going? I don't know. I don't know where we're going. But let's go. And Hebrews 11:8 says, Abraham was credited its faith because he didn't even know where he was going. He just knew to go. I mean, another one, Noah builds his boat. Why are you building a boat? I don't know. Where are you going to go in your boat? I don't know. How long are you going to be in the boat? I don't know. What are you doing this for? God told me. Is that all he told you? Yes. It's what I know. You should turn, repent. He said that too. You got to turn to repent. Otherwise, I'll be in a boat. But he didn't know. Sometimes he doesn't want us to know. If you're in a place of not knowing, I just want to give you three quick tips. And I will tell you, this is kind of funny to me. This is just a real open thing here. I'm in a place right now where I've got a pretty good question that I've kind of pitched out before God. And it's big. It's one for my wife and I. It's nothing like, you know, it's not a Beth Messiah kind of question. But I pitched it out there, and we pray about it a lot. We talk about it, she and I, every day, really. Every day, probably for the last maybe 2 years or so. So it's a dominant question in our life. And I'll keep asking because, you know, why not? He didn't say stop asking, so I'll keep asking. And so I'm living in a place of ambiguity right now because I'd like to know. So a little bit of this, I'm preaching to myself here, but I also have the experience of having followed him now. I don't know how long. I can tell you when I celebrate my spiritual birthday. So that would make me, spiritually speaking, 53. It's pretty good. 53 years old. Some of you are like 29 like me. So you know what I'm talking about. Okay, here they are. My point is, I've seen the Lord be faithful for those years. But it doesn't mean I'm done cooking. I'm cooking too. We never get to this point where like, we got it all figured out, you know. I've seen people in their 90s longing for more of God and longing for answers. So it's a whole journey thing that we do our whole life. So first, just lean into Him. Just lean into God. And this sounds so basic, but a lot of times, and I've seen this a lot, and even in my own life, when the question comes, we will often change the foundation of how we answer it. If we lean into God, then I know that, well, you know what? God will take care of it. God is going to get me to the promised land. Or, yeah, I don't know. I'm just going to do this, I think. And we don't even address God anymore at all. So first, lean into God. Basic, but hard. Second, this is a big way, big one. And I believe this is how Abraham understood going to Egypt. I'm going to the promised land, leaving Haran, going to the promised land. And how Noah knew to build. We have to trust his character. Because his character is facts. Character is known. Trust that he loves us. That even though we're living in an ambiguous time of challenge, maybe it's just ambiguity. Maybe it's not challenges, but whatever it is, trust that he does love us. He loves you. Trust that, because that's true and it's never going to change. Trust that he keeps his word. Trust that he has a plan for you, here or beyond. You know, we're not going to see the completion of his plan in our life until we're with him in paradise. You know that. I don't know why people often think that we have to do his plan here only on earth. We won't fully understand him, and even then, until heaven. Trust his character, his love, his goodness. He is purposefulness. He is not an accidental God. He's not surprised at anything. He's not surprised if you get laid off. He's not surprised that our bodies break down. We go through health challenges. He's not surprised at who becomes president. People will think God is surprised. I remember. I mean, you can insert the president. It doesn't matter. This is a whole tangent. So when President A is, you know, not going to be president. He's not running again for whatever. And these two people are going to run. And there's always somebody who says, I'm going for this person. And someone else, I'll go for this person. One of the people will be disappointed. And they always wonder why God didn't answer their prayer requests. He knows what's going on. Finally, and this is the hardest one. First, lean into him. Second, trust his character. You know, remember his character, remember those promises of God. But third, and truly, I think this is the hardest one, be a worshiper. Worship him. I mean, straight up, be humble, worship him, pray, sing. Do those things that build your relationship with him, that acknowledge him as sovereign and acknowledge him as God. Because he is sovereign and he is God, and it brings a lot of peace just to reaffirm yourself in that. And at the same time, you're honoring his name. Worship him. People will not do that. It's such a crazy thing to me. They go through hard times. They want answers. They want to know why this is happening, why that's not happening, blah, 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 blah. So what do? The first thing they do is they stop singing. They stop praising. They stop reading their scriptures. They stop. Just, it's a worshipful heart. It's not even a list of things to do as much as it's a worshipful heart. And they give up on worshiping God. Don't stop worshiping God. So those are our lessons for Palm Sunday. Now, here's kind of a for Palm Day. This is kind of a fun thing. This concept of palms. Here we go, looking at the book of Revelation. And I think it's pretty neat that they're even concerned about the branches there in heaven. This is a revelation of heaven, Yohanan, John's revelation of heaven. After these things, I looked, and behold, a vast multitude that no one could count from every nation, Israel, and all nations, and all tribes, and all peoples and tongues, was standing before the throne and before the Lamb. Who's the Lamb? The Lamb is our Messiah. They were clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne. Even in heaven, they're concerned with the branches. Now, I do want to add some theological clarity here. I actually believe these branches are speaking to Sukkot, which is a different holiday. But I do want to point out, and I think just this idea that they do care about the waving of the branches and the palms in heaven too. It's not a bad thing for us. So if we want to follow the Lord and leave it up to the Lord to do whatever he wants to do in our life because he is sovereign, it takes a different kind of palm. I'll do it. Yeah? You like that? So this is our palm day. Me, I'll follow the Lord. I don't know where you're taking me. My life has been a life of happenstance. I never thought I'd be here in Menominee Falls. Never thought I'd be in Wisconsin when I was a kid. I thought we were going to stay in Alaska. I grew up in Alaska for the most part. And I thought that was going to be the spot that we stayed. So my dad has this idea to go to Madison. That's where we were going to move back to. Or move to. I'd never lived there. And it ended up being Milwaukee. Never thought I would be here. And when I turned 18, I didn't think I would stay here. That's a whole different story. And it's been the best decision. My wife and I, we got married. I don't know why. My whole life has been a happenstance. You too. And I haven't done this for a while. Let's just have fun here. How many of you are not born in southeastern Wisconsin? Third of the room. Do you know why we're here together? Because the Lord works. Who knew? So this Palm Day, yes, I will follow the Lord wherever you take me, whatever you do. Good days or bad days, whether I understand what you're doing or not, whether there's ambiguity or firmness, whether I'm happy or sad, get the idea? Who's with me? Palm Day? Please stand up. Let's pray for us. Lord God, we will follow you. We have no clue, of course, what you're doing. You think beyond us. Your ways are higher. You're so much smarter. And we acknowledge it, Lord. You don't need us to, but we do. We say thank you for being smarter. Thank you for thinking higher. Thank you for leading us along the way because we need it. Help us, Lord. Help us with answers, but help us wait if we don't have answers. You are very good to us. Thank you for your goodness. L'shem Yeshua. Amen. Yevarachach Adonai bo yishmerecha. Ye'er Adonai panav eliyecha v'yunecha. Yisei Adonai panav aliyecha v'yaseim lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Amen. Be blessed. There's praying right here. Down the hall is Oneg, and there's coffee and some food and fellowships everywhere. Have some schmooze.